Good morning, a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. This morning, blockbuster headlines. Alan, the president apparently approved a strike on Iran, but then abruptly pulled it back. That broke in the New York Times. It's everywhere this morning.
Well, that's right. On the panel yesterday, we had such an interesting discussion as to whether the president was in charge or Bolton was in charge or Pompeo was in charge. In the end, you got one president of the United States. He appoints everybody else, and he's supposed to be the person who is calling the shots. You know, it's one thing when you're negotiating over the price of a building. It's another when you are talking about the future of the world in the one hot spot which everybody has always predicted would lead to the next nuclear confrontation. And it is a terrible situation to be in. The president is playing with everybody's lives. Here's a guy who says he doesn't want to go to war, but who is bringing us close to war, and who is changing his mind at the last minute. In other words, the planes are in the air. I'm not saying they're going to drop nuclear bombs. I certainly think they're not. But this is where the beginning is with Iran. And they've been playing this game of calling out Iran from the very beginning. And where did they think it was going to lead? So this is a terrible situation. And it has the markings of a situation that's only going to get worse.
All the while, as the AP this morning says, the Pentagon is without a chief as the U.S. faces these global threats.
Well, that's right. In fact, we haven't had a chief for a long time. We've had acting chiefs. One of the more interesting things about Trump is that he seems to like having actings. He doesn't give a darn as to whether or not the regular Republican Senate confirmation needs to be done. Instead, he appoints actings because, as we all know, he tends to fire people who are in office who have been confirmed anyway. We had General Mattis, who was regarded as the adult in the room. Out he went. And now we have people like Kushner and Bolton in charge of the U.S. foreign policy. It's very, very scary and very unhealthy.
New York U.S. Senator Schumer used the line that the president could bumble his way into war.
I don't think there's any question about it. He's right. This guy is somebody who has ultimate faith in his negotiating skills, even though they led him to bankruptcy a number of times as a businessman. Turns out this is way above his pay grade. And the last minute, with planes in the air, ships in the ocean, ready to attack, he calls it off. This is very, very scary.
Well, the New York State legislative session is ending now, and we find that one of the last moves is legislation to eliminate criminal penalties for the possession of small amounts of marijuana. The governor is calling this one of the most successful sessions in modern political history.
Well, it is. I think the marijuana thing is very confusing. We know that the governor was not for it in the beginning. We know that he switched and said he was. We know that he said he wanted it included in the budget, so it didn't have to be a separate bill and it would go sailing through. He says that the Assembly and Senate are the ones who wouldn't permit it to happen that way. And we do know that there are many senatorial districts in which marijuana legalization is not popular. And these are the very districts which now help the Democrats control the New York State Senate. So they have to be very careful lest they lose their majority before it comes time to redistrict in 2021. Once that happens, of course, districts in this state will be of a different stripe. We will see more fairness going into the way in which our legislative districts are apportioned. We know up to now the Senate leadership has been telling the computer, bring me districts where we can't lose. Well, finally, there were so many Democrats in New York State that they did lose. It was a bad time for them, but if they're not careful, they will lose it. And I think that's what this marijuana thing comes down to, David.
And what about the new law, the green light bill, which allows the undocumented immigrants to get driver's licenses? They're getting a lot of pushback, of course, from the Republicans, even some Democrats. But the issue that it's not fair.
The argument is that people come across the border illegally. They are here, but they are not documented. As a result, if you give them driver's licenses, the argument has been you are basically allowing them the privileges of citizenship even though they are not citizens and are not here legally. The counterargument is if you have people driving and people have to drive in this society, you better be sure that they are licensed, that they are trained, and that they are not going to cause accidents by being out there driving in an erratic or other fashion and not being held responsible with insurance and everything like that. I happen to come down on the second side, but New Yorkers are evenly divided on this. In fact, the last Siena poll showed that New Yorkers didn't like the idea of undocumented getting driver's licenses. But there's a decision to be made here. There's an argument on both sides, obviously.
County clerks, at least one, says he will not give those licenses.
David, we saw that when gay marriage happened. And in the end, they had to do it. You know, the law is law. Now you have to take them to court. You have to get it done. They're showing off. They're assuring their reelection with people who are not for this whole thing. But in the end, they have to follow the law.
You referenced it yesterday and the idea of Superman having to leave Krypton because the world is dying. And the stories now that are moving in the various papers, including the New York Times, are talking about having to make decisions because of climate change and coastal flooding, which cities we're going to save.
That's very interesting. There's going to have to be a lot of resources. We put tons of money into defense, but the ultimate defense, of course, is going to be, is New York City going underwater? And what are we going to do about that? And if we have limited amounts of money, which cities will we save? New Orleans, where my son is, has always been a very scary place. And as you know, if you travel around there, the graveyards are all above ground because the place is basically underwater. So we need to have a sane policy about this.